May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 641. 641. Jesus, mighty God and Saviour, lead me forth by thy right hand, and be it my fixed endeavour to obey thy sweet command. Let me never at a trifling distance stand. Hymn 641.
Let us read from the Word of God. We will read in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapters 45 and 46. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 45 and 46. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasure of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labour of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, Surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Saviour. They shall be ashamed, and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge. They set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. Chapter 46. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. To whom will ye liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him, and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I will bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. May the Lord bless to us that reading from his word. May he help us now to come before him in prayer. Ever gracious and merciful Lord, oh, we bow before thee in the depth of our need. Lord, we are poor and needy sinners. We have nothing of ourselves, and we are nothing in thy sight. Yet, Lord, in thy mercy, there are those possessions, and we do not think of the things of this life. But, Lord, we trust in the soul there is that which we could never put there, neither can another man upon this earth. But, Lord, we plead that it may truly be proven that it came from thee. Lord, we need thy Spirit's work. Lord, we are foolishness and darkness at best. Our own spirit is a wicked spirit, a harsh spirit. Lord, a spirit full of iniquity. Yet, Lord, thy mercy. And that we plead. Lord, to be received. Lord, accepted in the beloved. And we pray for mercy now. Lord, that thou wilt cleanse us in the precious blood of Christ. Lord, thou dost know how we've come. Each soul before thee, Lord, is known to thee. We do not know the path of one another, nor the burdens, nor the fears, nor the joys. Yet, Lord, all is in thy hand. And we plead, Lord, that in thy mercy thou wilt guide thy people. Lord, the promise is throughout thy word, that thy hand is with them and upon them. O Lord, do keep us close. We so often feel true the language of the hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it from thy courts above. We pray for these mercies, most gracious God. Lord, help us this evening hour. Lord, for that which we trust has been prayed for. And Lord, we believe it that it has been so. Lord, that in the heart of thy dear people, in many a heart, there's that desire, Lord. Oh, to hear thy word, thy voice. Lord, do speak. And that, Lord, we may rejoice in those things that we shall receive. Grant that none shall be empty sent away. We do plead of thee. So do bless us here. Lord, do strengthen our faith. Grant us those encouragements by the way. Do bless this company, Lord, we seek of thee, this congregation and this church. Oh, put thy hand upon them, guide them in all that is right, and keep them from all that is wrong, and bless them together. May they walk together in love, in the bond of peace. And bless thy servants, Lord, those that stand upon the walls of Zion this night. Lord, the need in the soul is great. Lord, we prove, as we so often truthfully say, that we are totally dependent upon thee, for we have nothing of our own. And Lord, if we even have one thought that we do have, it will be taken from us. For Lord, it is thy word that goes forth with power, and not the word of a poor fallen sinner. Lord, we plead that thy word shall go forth with power, that it may accomplish that whereto thou shalt send it. And we do give thanks and praise, most gracious God, for those past times when we trust we can truthfully say and stand before thee And Lord, know that there was that receiving of the word of God in our soul. Lord, the power of it. Lord, those early days perhaps to look back upon. Lord, when we trembled, and Lord, we often do, even as we grow older, we tremble because of what we are. And Lord, we are no better as we get older, we confess. But Lord, we trust that, Lord, there was that beginning when we truly bowed before thee, feeling ourselves, Lord, to deserve righteous wrath. And we still do. Lord, if one sin was left against our name, we would be cast away from thy presence forever. And Lord, thereby we plead that precious blood of Jesus. Lord, we need that fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Oh, may we be counted amongst those of whom the dear hymn writer said, all who are plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. In that better day, that dear man said, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away. Lord, we know that in his old age he came to a place where he couldn't enter into a place of worship. He was so full of fear that he would be lost. Oh, Lord, but nothing improves as we become older, we confess. Rather, our sins, Lord, we look back over the years and what we have done. Lord, what has taken place within us? Lord, we tremble. Lord, we come and bow before thee and trust and seek for that spirit of true godly sorrow for sin. Lord, the language of the words, godly sorrow, of a godly sort, says the dear apostle. And Lord, we trust that we too can sorrow after a godly sort. Lord, it is not of ourselves as we confess it. So do have mercy upon us now this night. Do bless us together, could it please thee, Lord. Make thy word that word of life. Oh, Lord, how much we need life. We do thank thee and would give praise, Lord, for what we receive here below, for what we have, what we hold. Yet, Lord, all comes from thee. Thou art the giver of it. Help us, as used to be said, to hold it with a loose hand, Lord, that we may truly enter into those words of the apostle in his epistle, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Lord, keep us from that. But Lord, may we consider the wonder, Lord, of the mercy that we enjoy and mercies received. So do bless us here. Be with thy dear people here, Lord. Work in each heart. Be with the younger ones. Guide and direct them in right paths. Help them in all ways that they walk. Keep them from the evil we plead. And oh, may the young ones, the little ones, will truly be the lambs in the fold. Help the dear parents in all the responsibilities, the burdens, the cares, the mothers with their children, the fathers too, in all the duties of, Lord, the business life, the work life, whatever it might be, in whatever calling, Lord, thou hast put them within. So do bless them and have mercy upon them. And we pray for those of us in older age, that, Lord, in thy mercy we may receive strength to continue here below. And, Lord, we trust, we do feel a thankful heart that thus far my God has led me on and made his truth and mercy known. So do bless thy dear people. Do comfort those that may be cast down, Lord, those that mourn. And, Lord, we pray that thou will grant healing mercies to those that need them, those unwell at this time, those laid aside, those afflicted, that in thy mercy they may recover. And we plead, Lord, that thou wilt grant blessings and mercies, Lord, in the pathway, But when those trials come, when they increase at times, when we walk through the darkness, even the valley of the shadow of death, oh, to follow on into the language of the dear psalmist, I will fear no evil, for he could say, oh, may we be enabled to, for thou art with me. Lord, be one more in our company. Be alongside thy people hour by hour. Lord, we know that he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Oh, Lord, we give thanks for that truth. So do hear prayer in all matters, Lord, thou dost know. And Lord, hear prayer for our nation in the solemn days in which we live. Truly it is a day of small things. And Lord, the wickedness is so rampant, it seems at times, so arrogant, so ready to condemn others. O Lord, have mercy upon thy dear people. There is much persecution for their faith of those who make a stand. Help us, Lord, to be, as Paul says, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, Lord, not to fear man whose breath is in his nostrils. According to thy word, thou hast declared it. Lord, we read it again in this book of the prophet Isaiah, that we are not to fear man whose breath is in his nostrils. And as thou, dear Redeemer, didst say, fear him that can cast both body and soul into hell. Yea, I say, fear him. O Lord, then we pray for much mercy. We pray for those in authority over us. Oh, that, Lord, their eyes could yet be opened, Lord, to see themselves as sinners, and that, Lord, that they may repent of their sin, and that, Lord, there may be that prayer put in their soul to guide this nation aright. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, we deserve thy righteous judgments. We do confess. Do hear prayer for the nations, Lord. We have read regarding thine ancient people Israel, and we know there is that war taking place, as in Ukraine too, and Lord, no doubt in other places throughout this earth. How often, Lord, the war is ever in the background, so often covered up, yet it goes on. The wickedness of man to man. Have mercy upon us, Lord, we cry. Be with those of thy dear people caught up in these things. Deliver them, could it please thee. Have mercy upon them. Grant a better day. O Lord, we turn to thy word. Do grant that we may sing, Lord, the hymn of praise with understanding. And Lord, do grant us ears to hear. And Lord, oh, that it may be true what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Lord, speak. We do cry. Do have mercy once more, we plead, as we seek these blessings. And all may we give thanks and praise, pleading all in Jesus' name, seeking pardon for all our sin, pleading all for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 721. To him that loved us ere we lay, concealed within the passive clay, to him that loved us though we fell, and saved us from the pains of hell. Hymn 721.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's gracious help, let us turn to the book of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 46. The words laid upon my heart you will find in verses 3 and 4. Isaiah chapter 46, the verses 3 and 4. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. I read the previous chapter for the purpose that, as in this chapter, there is the reference here to false gods. Some of them are named, as in the first verse, we have Bel and Nebo. And of course, as we know, some of those kings of Assyria, were named after them, Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar. And there are other kings that were referred to in the Old Testament. One of the greatest of them was, or gods as I should call them with a small g, for they were themselves those things that the people worshipped, the kings took with them, which is the reference, as we will look into it in a moment, of being born. There's Dagon, which is one that we can read of, where the Ark of the Covenant was in that temple. And of course, Dagon fell on his face. And each time they went back to put it up again, then they had to say that this God, the God of Israel, was stronger than their God. And there are many other gods that are mentioned, Molech, Ashtoreth. I could go through a list. It is not vital or important now to do so, but to understand the manner of this word and how it is addressed to the people of Israel. So many were living in the spirit of idolatry, those that were Israelites, worshipping other gods and turning to nations that were heathen in themselves, such as the Egyptians, the Ethiopians, the Sabaeans, who are mentioned in verse 14 of chapter 45. And so these gods were there. They were a burden, even as Moses said. And Moses is referred to here in verse 11, calling a ravenous bird from the east. There was a bird that came, and as we know, it did so also for the prophet Elijah. The man that executeth my counsel from a far country. And that is what, of course, Moses truly did. He was in that backside of the wilderness for 40 years. Then he saw a burning bush, did he not? And he went forward to see what that matter was. And the Lord called him. And so soon he was going before Pharaoh and standing before one who worshipped heathen gods. And as these gods were carried about, they were put into carriages, as in verse 1, your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beast. The reference is to the way that they were carried about. They went with the armies because, of course, they thought that if their gods were with them, then they would be victorious, so that they could have them to, as it were, bow down to them. And foolishly, even Israel were carried away in that respect. And friends, let us not look at others and say, oh, they worshipped idols. What does the dear hymn writer say? The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. Human nature, to look at something else, to look away from the Lord, to look in any other direction, rather than unto the Lord. And so there is this word to them in verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. And the reference here, of course, is how this God, in what a difference it is, they carried their gods about. And the Lord God says that he carried them about. So vastly different. Any god can be set up of wood, of stone. Again, in this book of Isaiah, you can read that they take a stock of a tree. One part of it they carve and they bow down to it. And the rest of it they cast into a fire and burn it and say, aha, I am warm. How foolish is the heart of man. For we know that those things, whatever they were, wood, stone, whatever name given, they could not hear. They had no ears. They could not speak. They could not know. They were only foolishness. The Lord has said more than once in these two chapters, I am God and there is none else. But I want to, as the Lord may help me, to go into the greater depth here of the word that was spoken to the people, the house of Israel and the house of Jacob. He says, hearken unto me, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. We can say that this was certainly true, of course, of Moses. As we know, in that day, the commandment of the Pharaoh was that the Hebrew male children were to be killed, only the females could live. And as he was called a proper child, he was put into that ark, was he not? And it was made secure so that it would not sink and put into the river. And the power of God now is revealed, the hand of God. The daughter of Pharaoh comes, and as we know the account of Moses beginning, and we can see a divine hand and a divine power. A man who would be brought up in Moses' household, so that in Pharaoh's household, rather, I should say, Moses was brought up in Pharaoh's household. He could speak to Pharaoh face to face. Pharaoh would have known who he was. Pharaoh knew him. He knew Pharaoh. How the Lord God is sovereign in all of these matters, and how it all had to be later in time. As we know, in that day before the day of the Passover, what took place, how it all unfolded, how the children of Israel had to come out of that captivity. And there, of course, is this reference to captivity. Captivity for the children of Israel was because of their idolatry, for the most part, of course, for their transgressions, because they had left the true God. And as chapter 45 opens, we read that the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus. Now, Cyrus wasn't even yet born when this prophecy was written. He did not come into this world until another 150 years later. That is not difficult to prove. The historians, and I do very much enter into history, it is something I have ever had a great interest in. It isn't wrong to say it. It's not out of the scriptures. These things, these matters can be proven to be true. There are many artifacts. A number of years ago, the British Museum held a tremendous exhibition, and many of our places of worship took their Sunday schools to it, and you could spend all afternoon being taken round all of the effects that had a connection to the Bible, to the Holy Scriptures. And it was a vast array, even in this country, other than that which is elsewhere. So that these things stand. This word is truth. This is the word of God. As the Lord Jesus Christ said to his Father, thy word is truth. Friends, we can believe it. We can trust in it. it stands before us even now. Let us then return to this third verse and think of these things. What of each of us here? There are younger ones, there are the younger, there are the older. But this gracious God, speaking to his people, what is spoken, born by me from the belly, and rather, of course, which are carried from the womb, from that moment of birth. Does not the hymn writer say it in our hymn 64? Parents, native place and time all appointed were by him. But the great mercy is this. And I can think of one a number of years ago now, a frail, weak babe that was born. And when he was born, you can read the account of his life. It was said of him that he was so weak he wouldn't live. And the people in this day, we're talking about a number of years ago now, in the later part of the 1800s he was born. And it was said of the mother, let us attend to her, the babe will die. And then soon that babe started to whimper. They thought, well, it does have life. They would now look at it and find out what was the matter. The man in himself was a hunchback all his life. He was the pastor of a very large congregation, and he was the father of 9 children. You can see the almighty hand of God. I'm only bringing this illustration out so that we can see which are carried from the womb. I can say this, and I can say it before you and before a just and a holy God. If anyone had said to me in my teenage years that I would be a minister of the gospel, even a pastor, I would have looked at them and said, how impossible. It certainly was something that never occurred to my thoughts nor mind. But dear friends, the Lord is sovereign. He is a gracious God. And we must leave these things. We cannot tell when any child is born what they will be, of course. We do not know. It was a great mercy to have these loved ones, these dear little ones born. How we treasure them, we're thankful for them, whether they're our children, grandchildren, or even, in our own case, great-grandchildren. But if they are those whom the Lord God has carried from the womb, and there have been many, you know, that they look back to these younger years. And I do remember the Lord's servant many years ago now preaching in our own place of worship. And he spoke of being brought up on a farm, and the old farm equipment was quite dangerous in those early days, and probably talking about the 1920s. And he was with his father gathering in some crop or other, and he fell off it, and he could have been killed because of all that took place on that occasion. But the sparing hand of his God kept him. He was brought through. He was, if I remember rightly, quite badly injured. But what a gracious, godly man he was, and how you understood from him the Lord God, why he will carry. And this is his word, he who has done it. I thought of that language of the beautiful hymn of Newton's 961, the language of it. He who has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through. It's the last verse of the hymn. And give me daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to his praise. Ebenezer, let us remember what it means, a stone of help. How many we receive and enjoy. But what of us? I stand before you as one who, for the most part of my younger days, was as rebellious going to the house of God as any could be. I went because my mother was such a tender-hearted lady that I didn't want to upset her. But my heart, my mind was away. There would be times I solemnly declare before you and the Lord when I didn't have an idea what the minister's text was. I didn't have a solemn thought nor towards what he had said. My heart full of rebellion. And I remember saying to my mother, I think I was about 17, if you think I'm going to continue at Bexley, more or less think again. I saw the tears come into her eyes. Oh, what we can do when we're young. Oh, the foolishness of the young heart. Friends, the Lord is sovereign. But God, who is rich in mercy, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ Jesus. You know, then there's that time when the Lord begins with us. And there was none brought lower than myself. Friends, we stand before one who is holy and just. What have we been? What have we done? We deserve the solemn, righteous wrath of God. We deserve the flame and the fire for eternity. But there is forgiveness with thee. Lovely language, isn't it? It was quoted in the prayer in the vestry before the service. Psalm 130. There's the verses. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? What a question. Who shall stand? The truthful answer is none. But, what a glorious word that but so often is. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. There is. Do you know it, dear soul? Have you received it? It is right for us to tremble before a just and a holy God. We read in the scriptures that even the devils believe and tremble. Yes, you see the language that says they believe. And if you read through the Gospels again, you will see that more than one knew the Lord Jesus Christ. We know who thou art. Thou art the Christ. Have you come to torment us? Language like that is read in the Gospels. Friends, what of us? Are we any better? But if our gracious God, which are carried, look at the language from the womb, which are born up. Hold thou me up, says the dear psalmist, doesn't he? Psalm 119, hold thou me up and I shall be safe. Don't you need being held up? I do. Yes, how soon we can fall. Our nature is one that ever turns to sin, the sin which doth so easily beset us. What of you, what of me? But the promise is here, which are carried from the womb. And perhaps many a child, and we often think of these things, don't we? There they are, they're born, a soul upon this earth, all to be prayed over. Oh, some sometimes can cause parents much concern, many a burden, many an errand to the throne of grace. What a mercy when that soul is touched by the hand of God, by the power of God, which are carried. The Lord holds them. You know, some may have run to great extremes, as far as sheep could run, says the Hebrew, but brought back. That's the Lord's sovereign hand. Almighty power. Oh, friends, this is mercy. This is precious. Tokens of grace. Those times that we can now look back upon. A day when I spent a whole Saturday working, and it was a day that was difficult. I remember it extremely clearly as if it was yesterday. I struggled through the day. Not for the work that I had to do, for it was straightforward, but for this. The Lord had begun to lay upon me the burden of the ministry. And I said what Jeremiah said, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Dear friends, what can one say? I know this, that this poor sinner could say nothing that would have any effect upon anyone here. That is true. But if God can, if he speaks to your never-dying soul, if he causes you to understand that you've been carried from the womb, that in whatever way you were born, the Lord had mercy upon you from the beginning, and you did not know it, as I did not know it. For many years it was beyond my thoughts and certainly outside of my thoughts. Go back to Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened, he says, who were dead in sins. Words, past tense now. Now there's this. Yes, what a change. What a difference. Now this exercise of faith. Now these fears and tremblings. Now these seekings. Now these cries. Now these pleadings. Now these wrestlings. Ah, but God. But who do we come before? Why, one who carries, one who lifts up. Underneath are the everlasting arms, says the scripture. Do you know it? I trust we can humbly say that those arms have often held us up. Friends, we need that hand upon us, do we not? Which are carried from the womb. What a great mercy then if any one of us here can look back over the years and say, ah, what a difference. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton's words. Oh, can we enter into it? What amazing grace is here. Do you know it? Have you received it? Friends, doesn't it humble you? Humbles me. Or we have to enter into the language of hymn 11, read it through. A man there, John Stocker, as I understand his name, was that. And according to all that I can find out, he only ever wrote 7 hymns that are known. Very few by comparison to some. Isaac Watts writing over 400 and so on. Others too. And still, I think, wrote almost as many. But what language there is in the hymn. And if you can sing it from a full heart. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Without thy sweet mercy, I could not live here. Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair. But through thy free goodness, my spirits revive, and he that first made me still keeps me alive. Thy mercy is more than a match for my heart, which wonders to feel its own hardness depart. Dissolved by thy goodness, I fall to the ground and weep to the praise of the mercy I found. Friends, is that the language of your heart? The Lord will do this. It's sovereign work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. But it's saving work. It's glorious work. It's precious work. It's the work of divine love. It's the work of eternal love and eternal mercy. And if you know anything of it, it's the work of eternal praise. Yes, it's the beginning of the eternity that we must all enter into. The Lord God promising through his dear Son that those who believe on him receive, are given everlasting life. That is the promise. That is the word of his grace. Oh, do we know it? Do we have a hope of it? And then to verse 4, which also was very much upon my mind. And even to your old age. Yes, even to then. I am he, this God. But the meaning is, I am thy God. Isn't that his words to his people? There is none other God beside me. You'll find it repeated more than once if you go back and read through that previous chapter in particular. There it is. Verse 18 of chapter 45, I am the Lord and there is none else. Then we go further down and you will see verse 21, I, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour, there is none beside me. None beside me. And again in verse 22, I am God and there is none else. None other God. What a great mercy then to know this only true God. Friends, I trust he's our God. Isn't this our concern and our plea? To know him as our God. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. The promise then is received here. The Lord will carry. It's again this reference, as I've tried to mention, of the idols being carried about in carriages, which is in the scripture here. They had to carry them because, of course, they had no power of their own. They were powerless, weren't they? They were useless, really, as gods, weren't they? They could have been turned into anything. If you'd have hit the stone hard enough, it could have been broken, become as nothing. And if you'd taken that tree and chopped it up, it'd have been, well, only just firewood. How foolish is the heart of man. And yet, what a great mercy that there is one who says, even to hoar hairs will I carry you. And if you read into the life of Jacob, you will see that he had to be carried, didn't he, in his carriages. He had to be taken down into Goshen. He had to be taken down to see his son Joseph, didn't he? All had to be carried. He was an old man. He couldn't have walked the distance then. Ah, but God. His God had ordered it. And it was done for him. And he leaned on his staff, we read, and worshipped his God. And he was there with Joseph and put his hands on the head of both of Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Friends, when the Lord commands the blessing, the Lord commands life, the life that we live, why we live through the will of God, the mercy of God. He says, I have made. What is the meaning here? You know, man had to make those carts, didn't he? Man had to make those gods. Man had to fashion them and turn them into whatever they were or looked like. And how foolish that was. But the Lord says, I have made. Oh, I have made man. I have made the earth and man upon it. You can read the scripture again. It is there, isn't it? Go back to our reading of the earlier part of this service. It says, verse 12, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. And of course, now there's a reference back to Cyrus. And as you can read of the history of Cyrus in his day, more than 150 years later, go to Nehemiah and you'll see him there in Ezra. And it was Cyrus that says, return to Jerusalem, go back, build the city, build the temple, the prophecy, the mind, the will of the Lord, all the revealing of it. I have made and I will bear. Now these are promises, aren't they? Special, precious promises. Friends, whatever pathway we're walking in now, the Lord says, I will bear. Even I will carry. As I was speaking earlier, have we not been carried to the cross, the foot of the cross, carried there by the Holy Spirit? Are we not at times carried to the throne of grace? Brought, perhaps, even though our own mind is darkness, foolishness, far away. But the Lord says, I have carried, even I will carry, to bring us to Calvary, to see one suffering, bleeding, dying. But why was he there? Well, the answer is very simple, as we know it well, for sin and for sinners, for his people, for their mercy, for their salvation. I will bear, I will carry. And the Lord Jesus Christ will bear all the sins of his people, taking them, as the dear Apostle Paul says, to those at Colossae, nailing them to his cross. I will bear. And he bears all his people, all their pathway. Even this day, have we not been born, carried? We've been brought here, I trust. Or has not the Lord, in his mercy, carried out this beautiful word, even I will carry? You never know the hearts of the dear servants of the Lord, those burdens that we bear ourselves at times, and how thankful we are that the Lord does bear us up, as it were, and carry them even as we come to the time that we stand before the Lord God and the people. So often, so much upon the heart, the mind. We were thinking earlier of one who spoke about after the services of mending the nets, and how often the Lord's servants have done that. How often have I? Matters that came and fell into one's mind, perhaps, one upon another. And we think, we've got the matter. And then it was all removed, and another matter put in its place. I remember again, I hadn't been long in the ministry, and I was about halfway through the sermon, and I lost my thoughts, my mind and consideration completely, and to this day I could not tell you what I said. But then the Lord was merciful and brought one back to consider the matter, and we continued, and there we had to leave it. And I felt so ashamed. I can remember driving home with a heavy heart, and I thought, that deacon has seen through me, he'll never ask me again. It was about the time of July, and it would soon be the case of being asked to take the services or have the dates confirmed. And then I had a phone call from him, and he said, can you come on 3 more Lord's Days next year? I thought, surely the man doesn't know me. And then it may be a year or two later, one dear soul in that congregation. It was at that time when I myself lost the passage, the thought, that they received the blessing. You see, the Lord's sovereign in these things. Do you not know it? Have you not had a word from the Lord? I have. One dear Lord's servant came and he said, have I struggled this day? And he did seem to have a heavy day. But that the Lord came, and there's that lovely passage of scripture in the parable of the Good Samaritan. He came where he was. The Lord came where I was. And he gave me that word in season. And it's still there. Again, one of the Lord's servants, who was not known for either raising or lowering his voice, he just spoke in a monotone. And I didn't want to go to the service or the weeknight service. I asked my dear one to go, and it was not the time nor the place that it could be done, so I went with a heavy heart. And the dear man came and sat on his stool, and he opened the scriptures, and it was as if one opened the heart and he poured it out. All the blessing of that evening still remains. Friends, when the Lord carries and will deliver you from your fears, deliver you from your temptations, deliver you from your afflictions, deliver you from death, hell, the grave, Satan. Friends, that's deliverance. But it's all in the Lord's hand. It's all his power. It's all his work. The Saviour, why did he come? He came to save his people from their sins. That's a tremendous power, tremendous work. Vital if we have any hope, if there is any hope in us. These are the words, even I will carry and will deliver you. We need deliverance and a deliverer and mercy and forgiveness. And there's here the God of salvation. The God of salvation set before us. Well, I feel to have scratched only the surface of this word. It is very precious if made so to your soul, to mine. Oh, may the Lord speak it into your heart. Anyone here this evening with a special case, perhaps some special burden, some special need, I do not know. I do not know your path. But I can remember when the Lord's servant once said that, and it was me. I was there, and truly inwardly I was weeping, mourning. I was so low in spirit, and he dropped it in, as it were. And how precious was that moment when the Lord came where I was. And thou art the God that comforteth. I am the God that comforteth you. What a blessing when the Lord comes with his word. The God of all comfort. Ah, but I am thy God. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I will deliver you. You will receive the mercy. You will receive the blessing. You will receive the forgiveness. You will receive the promise. Friends, I'm going to leave these few thoughts with us. Oh, may the Lord grant it unto us. Even I, even this God, the Lord God Most High, yes, he's on his eternal throne. He looks down upon his people now. He sees your heart, your thoughts and mine. But then when he comes and he says, even I will carry and will deliver you. Friends, his comfort. His comfort for the soul. Oh, may the Lord grant us to know that sweet comfort of his love and of divine mercy, forgiveness of sin, and that there is deliverance. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. The Lord's people being brought through, but then where are they brought to? They're brought to their end, aren't they? We must all come to an end. The end of this life as we know it now. Friends, oh, is it this? Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy work must all the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God, and will deliver you. I will leave the matter. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ian Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Matthew Hyde next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1039. Lord, we adore thy boundless grace, the heights and depths unknown of pardon, life and joy and peace in thy beloved Son. Hymn 1039.
Dear Lord, once more we plead for pardon and forgiveness of all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Oh, that thy word may be that word of life. Lord, do plant it in the soul. And Lord, do provide that which it needs to take root downward and bear forth fruit upward. Do take us home in thy care and safekeeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.